It's good to be here this morning to study the Word of God and put to practice the things that we study. That's very important. There is action. Our action is going to show that we love the Lord, and that's what we must do. Is let our light shine that men may see our good works and glorify God in heaven. Sorry to hear about Nova. She's not feeling well this morning, and we have continued to pray for the sick. I want to continue my thought. This is part two of thinking in and out of the box. Thinking in and out of the box. When we think in and out of the box is a metaphor, a figure of speech. Think of the box being the Bible, God's Word, and God tells us what's in the box. If somebody sent you something in the mail or whatever, UPS, and there's a box on your porch, you kind of a little bit anxious to see what's in the box. Good gifts or whatever the case may be, especially around Christmas time. And so we should ask God to help us understand what's in the box, and He will help us. Now in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, here's what Jesus says. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Matthew 7, 7 and verse 8. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Now, I'm going to read those other verses just in a few minutes, but make a comment or two on 7 and 8. When we seek the truth, I'm a firm believer we will find the truth. And the truth is God's Word, John 17 and 17. Let's think outside of the box just for a few minutes. Things that we are interested in, we will spend time seeking for it. You take men who love the fish, and men who love to hunt will spend time seeking for fish. They'll spend time seeking for game. You take men who love to play golf, they'll spend time golfing. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as we do not put those things before God. That's okay. And as long as we put God first in our lives and seek Him first, there's nothing wrong with those things. There's nothing wrong with sports as long as we don't make it a god. And we can make anything a god. Anything we put before God is going to be an idol. We can make people a god. We can make sports a god. And we just have to be careful along that line. People who love to shop will seek for the best deals online until they find what they are looking for. They love to shop. Nothing wrong with that. I found a good deal on Denisha's,
the little center caps on her wheel, two of them came out. And I went to the dealership and they wanted quite a bit of dollars for that. And of course I went online and Denisha kind of, I showed her what they cost, and they were cheap. So I went online and I searched for those parts and got them a whole lot cheaper than the dealership. You got to make sure you get the right part, because a lot of times you can get the wrong part. But here in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 7 through 11, I'm going to read now. And I got some good points, I believe. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you, Jesus tells us. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Then Matthew chapter 7 and verse 8. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Then watch him in verse 9. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Of course not. A son that asks his father for bread, he's going to give him bread. Look at verse 10. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? The answer is no. He's going to give him what he asks for. If he asks for a fish, he's going to give him a fish. Now watch verse 11, because I studied on this and I got to thinking about it. Matthew 7 and verse 11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask you? See there what he says, if you being evil. I thought about that. So what is Jesus talking about? Now, evil is used as a contrast with God. Being evil is used as a contrast with God. When we compare ourselves with God, we are evil. When we compare ourselves with Him, because He is sinless, He is perfect, He's never done any wrong, and for me or anyone to step up beside Jesus and compare ourselves with Him is evil. To even think like that. If humans who are sinful and imperfect, and we all are imperfect, nobody's perfect, we don't use that for a crutch to lean on, because we want to grow towards perfection. But if humans who are sinful and imperfect give to their children the things they need, how much more will God, our Heavenly Father, who is perfect, and I can use the word perfect, that He's sinless, give to His children the things they need? This does not mean God will give us everything we ask. He looks out for His people. He's not going to give us everything that we ask. However, He will not give us anything that is bad. He's not going to do it. God loves His children and will bless us. However, He wants us to pray to Him and ask for the things we need. He wants us to pray to Him. Ask for what you need. To get what we need, we will have to call God up, so to speak. Just like on the phone, we want something, we call a friend up, we call a family up, we call them up and let them know what we need. We're going to have to call God up, so to speak. We need to call Him up. God want His children to persevere. Now, I'm going to show you another scripture in Luke 11 and 5. Luke chapter 11
in verse 5. This here is a real good story too that I love and was thinking about. Luke chapter 11 and verse 5. And he, let me make sure you everybody find it. Luke 11 and verse 5 talks about friends and things of that nature. Luke chapter 11 and verse 5. And he said to them, his disciples, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And let me make a little comment here. People traveled late in the evening and up into the night to escape the heat of the day. They traveled to escape the heat. And some people still do this today. A lot of people, especially in the summertime, they'd rather travel at night to beat the heat of the day. And that's what happened here. That's why the friend came in about midnight. They started in the evening when the sun went down to do their traveling. And it was embarrassing not to have food in the house to feed a friend. And it was just embarrassing. Didn't have anything here. Your friend came, done been traveling, and then you don't have nothing to feed him. That's why I keep plenty of bologna around. So look at verse 6, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. Now let me say this here as I was looking at some history. In ancient houses, all members of the family would sleep in one room. And most of those houses had dirt floors. And so for that head of the household to get up, when all of them sleeping in one room, and to get up and waking up everybody in the house, you know, he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to be getting up, waking everybody up in the house and going to the door. But let's see what happened. Let's look at verse 8. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Jesus is teaching what persistence would do. Sometimes you got to just keep on. But look at verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Now think out of the box a little bit. That's the sermon, thinking in and out of the box. Let's think out of the box a little bit here. I believe we need to just keep on knocking. He kept on knocking until his friend opened the door. He just kept knocking. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread, will any father among you, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Of course not. Read about that in Matthew. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? No. Won't give him what he asked for. Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Now here's another. Here we have it again in verse 13. If you then, being evil, there it is again. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him through the word? That's how we get the Holy Spirit, through the word. So if less than perfect men, and like I said, nobody's perfect. We don't use it for a crutch to lean on. We be patient with one another because nobody's perfect. We all need help. We all need Jesus. That's why we're here. I need him. If less than perfect men give to children what is best for them, then surely God, who is so much greater and better than man, will give good gifts without being begged and worn out. You won't wear Jesus out. You might wear a man out, but you won't wear him out. Just imagine how effective prayer is to a good God who loves his children. And we can call on God 24/7. Isn't that wonderful? We can pray to him 24/7. God answers prayers. But we must call on him through prayer. Like you would use your phone, you call someone, but we call on him through prayer. There used to be a song along that line back years ago. And maybe sometime after service, I'll sing it to you, if I remember the lyrics. And some of the people didn't like that because talked about central telephone. And he was talking about some things that sometimes people, they do a little gossiping, you see. And they didn't like that song. In that song, he's talking about a little gossiping. And some of the people didn't like that song because they were doing it. Kind of funny, you know. And said, oh God, you don't talk to God through no phone, but it's, use it as a parable. Use it as a figure of speech. You're talking to God on the phone. That's what the song was dealing with. But they didn't like that. But my point is this, he does not always answer prayers the way man thinks he will. He answers in accordance for man's best and accordance to his need. And like I said, if you ask for something that's not in the Word of God, don't expect God to give it to you, because God is not going to give us anything that's going to hurt us. And a father would not give his son something that's going to hurt him. You would not give a son a shotgun if you haven't trained him to shoot the gun and showed him all the safety things, features on the gun, because he could hurt himself or hurt someone else. I always remember that. When we knock, the door will be open. We should not just knock one time. That friend didn't knock. He kept on knocking. And sometimes people, you go to their house and you knock. I remember back in my school days, and you go to a friend's house and he knocked, and I told him, get on up, because I know you're there. I know you're there. Come on out of there. And so the friend kept knocking until his friend got up. When we think in and out of the box, thinking in the box, he was persistent. He kept on knocking. He was persistent. There's another parable. I'm not going to read that because, you know, you can keep on with these good Bible lessons. There was a widow who went to a judge, I believe, and she wanted something, and she just kept on until she got what she wanted. Y'all remember that? And he said, because you just keep on asking, he went ahead and gave it to her. She was, as another lady, she was persistent. Sometimes my wives do that, and they know how to do that. You know, just keep on asking, and they get what they want. That's right. And so the judge got up. He done what he should have done, and gave her what she needed. Gave the widow what she needed. When you think outside the box, thinking outside of the box, most people will knock one time. Most people will knock one time because we don't want to bother the friend. We don't want to bother the friend. You ever done personal work? And I'm sure somebody have done this and just barely knocked. You didn't want them to come in the door nowhere. Knock and let him know you're out there. You didn't want him to come. All right, but you got to keep knocking, and he's going to get up. This man kept on knocking until the door was open. We're not talking about break the door down. Sometimes people, they knock too loud and scare you to death. But number two, we're going to bring this to a close. Thinking in and out of the box, Paul, the Apostle Paul, became all things to all men for the gospel's sake. Let's look at this. 1 Corinthians 9 and 19. And we're going to quit. Now this is something here. It takes a lot of praying and a lot of self-control. It really does. And Paul, he had that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and 19. I see some things here I want to share with you. And any of these lessons that I bring out, you might go to thinking and get some more lessons out of it. You may write me a little note or something. That'd be great. But let's look at this here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and 19. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. Now underscore, Paul says, I am free from all men. What is he talking about there? I thought about that. Well, Paul supported himself. That's what he's talking about. That he financially supported himself. He did not get any outside support. And I think Paul did that because he didn't want the Jews to think that he was just preaching for money. And another thing that maybe I'm just thinking, that I do know from experience, that when you get support from outside people, they want to own you. They want to tell you how high to jump and all of that. They want to just own you. So Paul, he financially supported himself. So look at verse 20. Now you all don't do that, and I thank you for the help that you're doing, but some people, some congregations, some outside support, they own you. They think they do. They like you a piece of property. And verse 20, and to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews, to those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. So Paul says here, verse 20, that, and to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I may win the Jews, to those who are under the law. Talk about the law of Moses. As under the law, that I may win those who are under the law. Talking about the Jews. But look at verse 21. To those who are without law refers to the Gentiles. Because the Gentiles wasn't given the law of Moses. The Jews were given the law of Moses, not the Gentiles. So to those who are without law refers to the Gentiles as without law, not being without law towards God, but under law towards Christ, that I might win those who are without law. And so what I believe that Paul, what he did here, Paul went along with their customs to win them. I think that's what he's talking about there. He wasn't just wandering along with their customs. If you look at verse 22, to the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partakers of it with you. And we'll stop reading there, but I have some things I want to share with you. And we'll bring it to a close. Verses 22 and 23 we read, to the spiritually weak, like those described in 8 and verse 7. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 7 and see what he's talking about there. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge. In other words, there's nothing to an idol. They can't do anything for us. However, there is not in anyone that knowledge, for some with consciousness of the idol until now eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. Now let me say something about verse 7 here. Now here Paul agrees that idols represent gods who don't exist. Idols represent gods who don't exist. Okay? Therefore, eating meat offered to an idol is not wrong. Drop down to verse 13 the same time. I'll show you this one. Look what Paul says here. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, this is 8 and 13. If food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat lest I make my brother stumble. See what Paul says there? Now, we got to think out of the box. In other words, now Paul said, I will never eat meat. You got to, and somebody said, well, Paul said he wasn't going to eat any meat anymore. Now, I believe that Paul had in mind, I'm not going to eat the meat in my brother's presence. I don't think it don't mean that he's going to stop eating meat, but he's just not going to eat the meat in his brother's presence. I believe that's what he's talking about there. Paul is not saying that he violated God's commandments at any time in order to become all things to all men. He didn't violate God's word to do that. Instead, he meant only that in matters of liberty, only in matters of liberty, he waived his rights in order to influence others to obey the gospel and be saved. And that's why I said to the Jew, I became a Jew, that I might win some. I think he kind of went along with some of the customs. But anything that did, if he didn't go against God's word to the weak as far as just giving in to them because of what God's word says. Hope I don't cloud this thing up. Okay. Let me say this again. To the spiritually weak, like those who described in 8 and 7, which we read, Paul gave up his rights in order to save them. He would not eat meat in front of them. Paul is not saying that he violated God's commandments at any time in order to become all things to all men. He didn't violate God's commandments. That's what I want to say. I kind of got a little crossed up a little bit. Instead, he meant only that in matters of liberty, he waived his rights in order to influence others to obey the gospel and be saved. Nothing wrong with eating meat. But Paul said, I won't eat it in front of him. But yet, like I said, and you got a right to divide the word. If you go back to 8 and verse 13, 1 Corinthians 8:13, therefore if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. Now I don't think that I believe what he's saying, he's not going to eat it in front of his brother. He's still going to eat the meat, but not in front of him. Y'all can check that out if you want to. Now, do you know that some people think it's a sin to play cards for fun? There are some Christians who think that it is a sin to play cards for fun. And the reason why they think it's a sin to play cards for fun is because that's what the gamblers do. They handle those cards and they play those cards and they gamble. It's not a sin to play cards for fun, but to save them, I would not play cards in front of them, in their presence. I'm talking about some Christians think it's wrong to play cards for fun. They think it's wrong to play bingo. There's nothing wrong with playing bingo. There's nothing wrong with playing cards. We don't gamble. We know you don't gamble. Got to think out of the box here, that we don't gamble and we do it for fun, and we know that gambling is a sin. You make money by working and you make money by investing and you don't gamble. Now in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 19, and we're going to bring it to a close. This is what Paul says here. For though I am free from all men, in other words, he didn't take support from, he financially supported himself. I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. And it takes humility to do that. Paul shows that he used this self-denial. He used this self-denial in hope that he might gain souls for Christ. He used this self-denial. We must always think in the box, the Word of God. Christ has all authority. We must always think in the box, but there are times God gives us liberty to think outside of the box. That's what I believe. There may be someone out there who's not a Christian. If not, they need to obey the gospel. After hearing the gospel, they need to believe it, need to repent of their sins, confess Christ before men, and be buried with Christ in baptism. If you are a Christian out there and you have gone back into the world, back into sin, please make things right with God while together we stand and sing the song that has been selected. Thank you.